Thanks very much, Steve. I'm going to invite Joel. Joel's going to come down and give us a Bible reading from Colossians chapter 1. So if you've got a Bible, it'd be great to open it up. As Joel's coming down, it did cause me to smile a little bit as we talked about things that are coming up in the life of the church. Kickoff dinner on the 21st, hospitality lunch on the 1st of March, and then fasting a couple of weeks later. So if you participate in all of them, that would be a great opportunity. Joel, looking forward to your reading, Colossians chapter 1, I think verse 24.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 to chapter 2, verse 7. I'm glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I'm participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret: Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. And now, as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness.
Fantastic. Thanks, Joel. On December 30th, my mother had a fall, and she dislocated and broke her ankle. My wife, some of you know, she works in an imaging part of a hospital, and she had a look at the scans and said, oh, gee, she did a really good job, didn't she? Her ankle has taken a long time to repair. And she actually didn't break it on December 30th, 2025, but on 2024. And it took the best part of more than a year before she would actually be able to walk in any kind of normal way. And still today, she's struggling. It's still not quite right. It's partly because of her age, partly because of the severity of the break, and partly because just sometimes, you know what, that's what happens. You know, fortunately, though, apart from the first few months, she was able to start to get up and walk around. Hasn't been confined to a bed the entire time. Yeah, when people have an injury like that or something like that and they are confined to a bed for an extended period of time, your muscles begin to waste away. It's called atrophy. You know, when muscles aren't used, they shrink. Our strength diminishes. Our mobility, it declines. And eventually, even simple movement becomes difficult. Why is that? Well, because the body, our body, your body, was designed for growth and movement, wasn't it? And when growth stops, decline starts. When growth stops, decline begins. But as it is for our bodies, it's reasonable to say so it is for our faith. Because you see, our faith is designed for growth and movement. And when our growth stops, our faith begins to decline. You see, faith is never intended to be static. It's always intended to grow. And this book, this letter of Colossians, calls us to be growing deeper in our faith. If you were with us last week, it painted this reminder, this picture, this glorious song, this beautiful image of who Jesus is. And we're meant to be able to see that and to let it capture our hearts and continue to draw us closer to Jesus. Walk with me through this passage and the parts of chapter 1, and we'll see how faith is intended to grow. In verse 6 it says, it's bearing fruit everywhere. The good news of Jesus is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. Changing lives is growth. In verse 10 it says, all the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. All the while, continually. In verse 23, you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away. You see, these verbs, these ideas are not the language of status quo, are they? They're not the language, the idea of something that is a statue. This is change. Paul is imploring the Colossian church. In fact, he's imploring the church, in fact, us, that we should move towards a growth that of faith that is a living, breathing faith. Something that is constantly growing. It's never meant to be stagnant or unchanging. Is that your understanding? Is that what you feel within yourself? Or is that the same as what your experience is in your walk with Jesus? Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, living things grow. That's kind of logical, isn't it? They don't freeze into some sort of cryogenic state and just never change. You know, I think of growth in our faith happening in varieties of different ways. Sometimes it might mean, like it says in verse 6, growing in knowledge and learning to know God better and better. Or sometimes I think of that our faith is kind of like that truth in application, learning to be more like Jesus. And so it might mean, I'm growing in love, or I'm growing in patience, or I'm growing in my ability to forgive people. Kind of it moves from the head to our hands, doesn't it? It has an expression, a practical expression. Or sometimes it might be our faith growing through serving. We recognize how God has made us, and we are expressing that faith towards others. Not just in our head, not even just within us, but it flows outside ourselves. That's what it looks like to me. But the question that I ask myself, and maybe this is the question you ask yourself, is why don't we grow? Why don't we grow? What gets in the way? What stops us from growing in faith each day? I think that's a good question, isn't it? How would you answer that question? There's a part of me that just wants to stop for 5 minutes here, ask you to turn around and speak to the person beside you and say, what is it that causes your faith to stop growing? I'm not going to do that, you know, I'm just... Do you feel nervous? Maybe it's a good thing to chat about later on. And when I read through this text, I see a few kind of ideas that start to emerge. The first thing I see is part of the reason that faith doesn't grow is because people have a false understanding. And this seems to have been a reality for those in the Colossian church. They had faced challenges both from within the church and from outside the church as to the nature of who Jesus was. And for some of them, they had a wrong understanding, a false idea about who Jesus was. And I know that there are people who call themselves Christians, call themselves a follower of Jesus, but there is a false understanding which leads to no growth in faith. There are some of us, if we're being honest, maybe we might confess that we became a Christian because we think it's a fire escape. You know, it's the equivalent of a get-out-of-hell free card. Not get-out-of-jail playing Monopoly, but a get-out-of-hell free card. You know, I know in my life I've done the wrong thing. I sense that I'm guilty and that I need to be forgiven. I need some form of release from my guilt and my wrongdoing. And so I'm signing up for this eternal get-out-of-hell free card. And if this is what I believe about what it means to be a Christian, it tells me that my faith on a day-to-day basis means nothing. Because the only thing that is important is what might happen to me in the future. It means nothing about it means from day to day. I mean, I might call myself a Christian. Maybe if I get excited, I tick a box on a census form that says Christian. I mean, why would I expect to grow on a daily basis if that's my understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus? If my faith is stagnant, if my faith doesn't change from day to day, week to week, month to month, what does it make a difference? The only thing that I'm concerned about is the future. Maybe there's, for some of us in that situation, there's a need for us to reframe our understanding, kind of turn our belief system up on its head. You see, faith is not set and forget, is it? Faith is a dynamic relationship with the Lord of the universe. All the while, you know, you could change that. Day by day, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. Maybe that's what's needed for some of us, an understanding that we should be growing each day. But for others, I don't think that's our experience at all. For others, my observation is our faith is more kind of stop-start. It's not the same as kind of that false understanding. We have this desire to grow in Jesus, but our faith at times is inconsistent. Maybe it's a bit patchy. Times maybe life is difficult and our faith goes as our life goes. It's kind of this hit and miss sense. I try to grow, Andrew. I try to grow as a Christian, but I keep messing up in my life. I fail. I feel so discouraged. You know, I pray, but my prayer hits the ceiling and it bounces back down. God could never forgive me for the things that I've done. Sometimes, Andrew, I feel like my faith is like a New Year's resolution. It lasts 3-4 weeks, and then I've forgotten. So I just go along for the ride. Maybe even your faith feels a little bit kind of burnt out or just tired. And Paul writes these words for us. You must continue to believe this truth. Stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received. I love that image of drifting. The thing about drifting is that it just happens, doesn't it? It's not intentional. No one says, I want to drift today. You just kind of start at one point and without realizing it, discover that you're somewhere away from where you started. All of us have been to the beach at some point in time. Maybe you're out there in the surf yourself, or you're out there with kids or friends or something like that, and you're doing the right thing. And you know, in Australia, we know that to do the right thing, you swim between the flags, don't you? And you start off between the flags, and you're having a great time, laughing, jumping around the waves. Maybe, you know, your kids have been a problem, and you kind of hold them down for a little bit. You're having a great time. 15 minutes later, you look up, and you realize the flags are down the other end of the beach. See, without realizing it, you just drifted. The wind, the current, all these things just pull us away from where we started. I didn't do it intentionally. It just happened. I feel like drifting is a kind of a classic midlife experience. If you're a midlife like me, I'm clamming on midlife. That's your experience, isn't it? You know, you think about it. Your body drifts. You know, the things that I could do when I was 20, can't do when I'm 50. I don't pay attention to my diet, don't exercise, and before I know it, my weight has drifted. Not in the shape I had planned for. It didn't happen intentionally, it just happened. We drift in our marriages. It's not intentional. It just happens. Took my eye off the relationship. Maybe I was spending more time in the workplace, spending time with my kids. And before I know it, my relationship with my spouse had drifted. We drift in our faith. We start off life full of passion and energy. You know, we'll put up our hand to serve in any particular way we want. But instead of, you know, maybe prioritizing my personal devotion, I drift. Instead of being willing to sacrifice, that's for someone else. And before I know it, I'm a long, long way away from where I'm meant to be. The truth is that drifting might be common in midlife, but can easily happen at any time in life, can't it? Isn't that true? Can't we take our eye off the ball? No longer sort of looking at where the flags are. And before we know it, we're a long way away from where we started. Maybe for some of us, if that's where we find ourselves, we need to reorientate our view towards the flags again. We need to open them up and see Jesus. You know, last week as we read through that beautiful passage, it reminded us, didn't it, to have a fresh view of who Jesus is. Jesus, the one who is the Lord of creation. Jesus, the one who is the Lord of redemption. Jesus, the one who brings us back together, the one who offers love and mercy and grace and forgiveness in a way that changes everything. Maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe we need to refresh our experience in that way. Return to my first love. Now, for some of us, our faith stops growing because we're going through hard times. Maybe for you today, this is where you identify. The decision to follow Jesus is not an easy one. And that's what Paul says to the Colossians. As I said, they were being challenged on various fronts. In verse 11, he says, "We pray that you'll be strengthened with all of his power, so that you'll have all the endurance and patience you need." Strengthen, endure, patient. In verse 23, "You must continue to believe this truth. Stand firmly in it." Stand firmly. These are not verbs or ideas that you use when things are easy. And I know that for some of us here, life is very tough. The challenges are real and present hour to hour and day to day. Some of us have significant health issues. They might be health issues that we struggle with each day, or they might be health issues which give us concern about our life. Some of us are experiencing financial pressures that are real, or family issues, struggles with our kids, struggles with our parents, struggles with our spouse, or maybe there's personal issues, things which have a grip in your heart and are really, really difficult day to day, and it feels like it's overwhelming. And you're asking this question, where is God in the middle of all this? I feel like giving up. You know, I read this during the week, that things of eternal value demand sacrifice. What comes easily is usually cheap. Our encouragement from Paul here, from God's word, is to be strengthened in the midst of these difficult times. To exercise our resolve, to trust in the power of God's Spirit, to persevere through those difficult times. Where are you today? Is that what you identify with? And you're struggling to hold on to God. You're asking that question, where are you, God? And God's word would say to us, stand firm. Stand firm. Be strengthened by his Spirit. Don't give up. You know, I want to invite you to reflect and consider today about your faith. Ask yourself, is it growing or stagnating? Do you identify with any of the things that I've shared today? Maybe there's other parts that engage your heart and your mind. I ask myself this as much as I would ask you. You know, in our world, there are different types of people. In this auditorium today, there are different types of people. I wanted to draw a bell curve to you, but I feel like I'm a math teacher. You know what a bell curve is? You know that curve that kind of looks like this? You know the funny thing is, I just did this, but I won't say the person, but I know the person here who's like a physics teacher, and they were nodding their head. They were really excited. You know, bell curves tell us that on one end is a particular type of person, which is kind of in the small minority. And on the other end is another type of person who's almost like on the opposite end, a small minority. And the greater group of people exists in the middle. Well, if you imagine a bell curve, right? If you imagine a bell curve which says, I'm a person that always wants change. I love change, right? It doesn't matter what it is. I just want it. Or if you're a person up the other end, I want stability. Nothing should change ever. Never. Why are we driving cars? We should be on horses, sort of thing. You know what I mean? Like, you're at that end. The vast majority of people here are in the middle, okay? You know what? The vast majority of us, we kind of want to change, but we know it's difficult. So sometimes we're open or we're not. Where are you? Are you looking to change in your faith? Let me put up on the screen here a couple of different groups of words. All right? There we go. Which group of words do you identify with faith? Which group of words do you want to identify? Complacency? Mediocrity? Humdrum, run-of-the-mill, pedestrian, blah. Comfortable faith. Or the other side to me is, as much as that side is a bit repulsive, the other side is scary. Courageous, dynamic, vibrant, risk-taking, stretching, bold, challenging. What would you use to describe your faith? Which end of the bell curve? Or would you just be comfortable in the middle? Maybe our call is from within us that our faith should not be complacent, but it should be courageous. Maybe in the situations that you're in at the moment, God's calling you to take steps of courage. Maybe your faith shouldn't be comfortable, but it should be bold and challenging. Can you recall, or can you tell me right now, what steps of faith that you're going through? Life change, mind change, action change, that are really testing your faith, telling you, I need to hold on to God for this. I always remember when I was a kid, I used to love climbing trees like the vast majority of people. When you climb trees, there are people who like to hang onto the trunk, and then there are other people who like to go out onto the edge of the limb. What are you going out onto a limb for at the moment? When you go out onto the limb, you're going, I believe that this branch connected to the trunk will hold me up. When we do it with faith, we're saying, I believe that Jesus will hold me. If I stay attached to the trunk, our faith tends to be, I believe that I can hold me attached to the trunk. Where are you? Where might your faith be? You know, we're called by Jesus to a life of growing faith, aren't we? To follow him is a calling to walk on a high road, a narrow path. It's not to take the low road. It's not to take the freeway. And I believe that for some of us today, we need to hear this call to return to him and grow each day. We've been taking our faith as a special event, kind of the equivalent of attending a church service on Christmas or Easter. Our faith, all it is we just tick a box and it's nothing more. Maybe for some of us, it's drifting away. We just lost sight of who Jesus is. And if we're in that situation, we need to capture a fresh vision again of who Jesus is, so that it might grab a hold of our heart and give us courage and the ability to walk with boldness and purpose with him. Or maybe for some of us, it's during these really difficult times in life. We need to be reminded that Jesus is the one who stands with us and strengthens us, that his Spirit is within us, helping us to persevere and endure. Now, I want to finish today by reading the last couple of verses of that passage that Joel read earlier on for us. And I love these verses. I love the imagery of them, because they are calls for every single one of us. I don't care whether you're 15 or you're 75. They are calls for each single person who follows Jesus. The call to action. Let me read them for you. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord. So for some of you, that might be a year ago. For some, it might be 10. I suspect that there are some people here who might have been following Jesus for 60 years or more. Just as you did that, whenever that was, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Do you hear that for you today? Let your roots go down into him. Let your lives be built on him. And then your faith will grow. It'll grow strong. You'll be clear in your mind, and your heart will overflow with thankfulness. And so I want to say to each one of us today that we are called to grow in our faith each day. We're going to pray now, and I'm going to read this passage again, these couple of verses. And as I pray, I'm just going to leave some time, and you might want to echo your heart along with the words of this verse. Let's pray together, shall we? For our God, we thank you. There was a time in our life where we recognized our need for Jesus to be our Lord. I want to invite you to stop and remember that. You must continue to follow him. Is that the desire of your heart? Do you continue to follow him? And let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Can you see that image? Can you see it? The roots growing down deep. If you were to go home after this service tonight, walk into your garden and see a weed, probably take you 2 seconds to pull it out. Why? Because its roots are shallow. But that tree that you have, you can't pull that out, because its roots grow down deep. The last part of the verse says, your faith will be strong. You'll overflow with thankfulness. So I invite you, just in this moment, to express your thankfulness. Amen. Can you see that picture of who Jesus is? The one who is worthy of it all. The one who is the Lord of creation, the Lord of redemption. This is the God we follow, who calls us to walk with him each day in faith. Wherever you come from, whatever's tracking in your life at the moment, my prayer is that you will catch a glimpse, catch a vision of who Jesus is. And walk with him each day. In the midst of your struggles, in the midst of drifting, he's the one who calls you back, calls you to himself. Now, after the service finishes today, we'll have some people available down here on your right-hand side. If there's some things you want to pray about, wouldn't you take that opportunity this morning? I'd love to sit with you and pray. If you want to pray with me, I'll be out in the foyer. You can just tap me on the shoulder and we'll grab a room and spend some time praying together. It'd be fantastic. I want to mention just in the life of the church, of course, as Cam said earlier on, if you want to get involved with different aspects, you need to register for the kickoff dinner or for hospitality. In the foyer at the welcome desk, there'll be some people there. There's both pen and paper, and there's the ability for you to register in whichever way suits you. Please do that. But as you go into today, and as you, not just today, not just Sunday between kind of 10 and 12, but Monday morning in your workplace, Tuesday night with your family, Thursday afternoon with your friends and socializing. This is, our faith belongs in all those areas of life. Day by day, as we walk with him. Don't accept mediocrity. Step out in faith and be bold.